Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the 2014 National Rural and Small Town Mission Conference at the Airport Marriott Hotel in Kansas City. And it is good to be out here in Kansas City this morning on this nice, crisp morning and meeting with so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ from rural and small town congregations and hearing from them, hearing right from them. We're going to hear from some folks in the work that they're doing today right here on Faith and Family. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin and all the good work that they're doing. Well, joining me today at our live broadcast from the Rural and Small Town Mission Conference, I've got two guests for the first few minutes here to talk about their work that they're doing. And so joining me, a familiar face from right down the hall, actually. We had to travel, 230-something miles just to get to talk on the air. Tracy Quatham from LCMS Life Ministry, the project coordinator. Tracy, good to have you this morning on Faith and Family.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And also joining us this morning, we have Karen Hardikoff. She's a parish nurse from Cross Lutheran Church in Yorkville, Illinois. Karen, good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And you made the trip. You flew in just this morning and got here just in time to jump on the air with us. And we're so grateful that you have some time to sit down and chat with us this morning about your work as a parish nurse. And we'll talk about the connection between life ministry and parish nursing. Now, Tracy, you're presenting here at this conference on LCMS Life Ministry. Before we get too far into the conversation, what is LCMS Life Ministries?
Well, LCMS Life Ministry exists to support districts and congregations, to help them, encourage them, to support from conception to natural death, just to really honor life in the image of God. Specifically, we're here at rural and small town ministries because a lot of times in a rural setting, people may be far from resources. They might not have large congregations, but really just encourage people that you don't necessarily have to have a board or a committee to support life. If you have just one person in your congregation,
sure,
they can carry that banner, and we're here to help you do that.
Well, very good. And LCMS Life Ministry isn't, I'm so glad that you pointed out that you're here for the small town, the rural congregations. Quite often we associate that with big things like the city, like the March for Life coming up in January in Washington, D.C., but that's a chance for everybody. Those rural and small town parishes can participate in that too. We're going to talk with Ed Zito and some of the presenters from the LCMS Life Conference coming up later on here on Faith and Family. Coming up in a few weeks, we're going to talk with them about the March for Life, and that certainly in the Life Conference is a big event that LCMS Life Ministry does, right?
It is a big event, and we'd encourage everyone to attend if they can. You can find more information on our website. It's lcms.org/lifeconference.
Very good. Yeah, you can find out information. That's coming up in January, but you want to do the registration now, right?
Right, and we encourage you to register now. Hopefully we'll have, last time we did this, we had about 250 of our closest Lutheran friends there. So we'd like to at least get that many again to come and support life at the national level.
250 of your closest Lutheran life-affirming friends.
Right.
Well, if I remember correctly, registering now means you can still get the early bird rate, is that right?
The early bird rate is good now, so we encourage you to go ahead and register.
Good. And you're going to be talking, you're presenting, did you already present or did I?
I presented last night.
What did you talk about with the folks here at the RSTM conference?
It was an idea exchange to bring congregations together to share what they do in their congregations and in their communities so that we could get together and share those ideas and do big things.
Were there some good ideas and good conversation there?
Excellent ideas.
As you look around at this conference and you see other people here, well, in this room, it's kind of quiet at the moment, not a lot of people here, but as you look around the conference and you see other people here, in the idea exchange last night, what do you walk away with?
It's an encouragement. Mm-hmm. At one point, someone said, is there hope? And absolutely there is. When you come and you see hundreds of people together, all supporting the same cause, then there is definitely hope.
Very good. Well, in terms of caring for life, I want to talk with also Karen, a parish nurse. The parish nurse, we've talked a little bit about here on Faith and Family. We've talked with Dr. Marcy Schnorr about the parish nursing program. And it's nice to get to talk with some of our parish nurses out in the field, too, who are doing this work. Karen, tell us a little bit about why you wanted to become a parish nurse. What led you up to that vocation of parish nurse?
I always felt that God called me to touch people with his love, and no matter where I was, and I saw a big need within our congregation for the extension of intentional care with a spiritual aspect.
And so how do you go about becoming a parish nurse? How did you go through that process? What does it take to become a parish nurse?
The best way is to have a basic education in parish nursing, and in LCMS we promote Concordia University in Wisconsin has a program. Nebraska Concordia is just starting one, and LCMS has offered a new one. It's Introduction to Parish Nursing in a Lutheran Setting online, and that works very well for rural congregations because you don't have to go anywhere. You can watch the video. And so Dr. Marcia Schnorr is heading that up and the mentor with that.
So it's a resource available to rural and small town congregations, well, to anybody, to any congregation,
and
that you can do online, and then you have that mentor, Dr. Schnorr, so that you still have a real person that you're interacting with as well. It's not just entirely watching videos. You have a chance to ask questions and interact.
Yes, and she's, I've recently been able to join the team at LCMS. She is into that area of education and international parish nursing, and I'm the LCMS parish nursing programming coordinator, so I connect up with districts, and so it's a pleasure to be here to meet many districts and be able to support parish nursing in their area.
What are some of the things that you do as a parish nurse and that other parish nurses might do? What are some of the things that you address, whether it be on a daily basis or a weekly basis or from time to time?
Some of the roles are health educator, where you can talk one-on-one with someone or have classes. A health counselor is similar. It's not a counselor as people think, you know, you go to a counselor, but it's an ability to be able to listen to someone's concerns and to help point them in the direction they need to go, and know what's in the community, of the community liaison part, knowing what's in the community for the parishioners, and then being God's light in the community to serve as we are in the community. And the facilitator of volunteers within all the different types of ministries that might happen. And the biggest key is the integration of faith and healing.
That was my next question. What's the difference between a parish nurse and a nurse you might encounter in some other setting?
It's the faith and healing. There's a lot of spiritual issues. As a matter of fact, after I took the basic course and was in ministry quite a while, I could tell there's a lot of questions. And so I attended Concordia University in Wisconsin and got my certificate. I'm certified lay minister as well. So a number of parish nurses have gone on to get a better theology base.
How has that theological education been beneficial to you as a nurse?
It has helped me be able to be comfortable with talking with people. It has strengthened my roots in LCMS. To be able to serve in an LCMS congregation. And then when I'm in the community, I'm able to have, we call meditations or Bible studies, outreach into our local nursing home, assisted living, people who are displaced from their homes.
How does this make a difference? How does parish nursing make a difference for the community, for the congregation, for shut-ins? How do parish nurses make a difference?
An extension of the pastoral care team ministry with a pastor. And so it's another touch. We are trained as parish nurses to recognize spiritual distress. And as a parish nurse, then we can pray with them, talk with them about God, refer them to pastor, make that connection, and just work that extension, intentional care.
And also, I'm sure in that time, also acknowledge if there's some sort of physical concern for that person as well.
Yes. Yeah.
that's something that, that a pastor may or may not notice, that a nurse would notice that a pastor may or may not see.
And they may, the pastor may or may not be comfortable with talking about issues. Mm-hmm. So it's a great team.
How can a parish nurse be helpful in a rural or a small town setting? Or what are some of the things, you know, a rural or small town congregation might not think of having a parish nurse? What are some of the things that you're going to talk about in your session? You all have a session coming up, or you'll be talking later on today, right?
Yes. I'd like to give everybody an overview of what congregational health ministry is and parish nursing is, and then I want to give them a lot of resources on how to even brainstorm ideas, because assessing your congregation and assessing the needs in the community might bring up something that you can do in God's name to serve someone. Meet them where they're at, mm-hmm. on the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Meet them where they're at, and then at some point they'll say, why are you doing what you're doing? And then you can tell them about God's love.
Sure. What a great opportunity to serve needs in the community, and that opens up doors to tell the love of Jesus, tell them about how much Jesus loves them, and that even if we face physical trials and ailments in this world, that God's love is greater than that.
Yes.
Now, you're coming to us from Cross Lutheran Church in Yorkville. What do you love about being a parish nurse at Cross?
I love everything. I really like the one-on-one, mm-hmm. the one-on-one ministry, and being able to work with the volunteers who have, they're such a servant heart, and to be able to be blessed. Mm-hmm. We think we go out to serve someone to bless them. In reality, it's God blesses us, and so that's such a privilege to work and serve in that way.
Tracy, hearing Karen talk about the work of parish nurses, as someone who's so passionate about life and being in life, LCMS Life Ministry, hearing the work that she's doing as a parish nurse, how valuable, how important is it to Life Ministry to have partners to work together in things like this, in life affirming work like a parish nurse?
Parish nursing and life ministry certainly interactive. Mm-hmm. Right now in the news, everyone's interested in end-of-life issues, and that certainly falls under both life ministry and parish nursing. We do ministry to people with disabilities, mm-hmm. and that also, a parish nurse certainly plays a key role in that as well.
Karen, you're nodding your head in agreement.
Yes.
It really goes hand in hand, doesn't it?
Yes.
As a parish nurse, it's about affirming the gifts that God has given us, especially the gift of life, being affirming of that and caring for that life.
Yeah. Within our ministries at Cross, we have a disability ministry and we have a life team.
Very good. A life team that, and for those not familiar, we've talked a little bit about life teams with Dr. Mark Laverty here in St. Louis and Pastor Femmel at, I guess we're not in St. Louis at the moment, but with the Zion Lutheran Church there and their life team. And what is a life team? Tracy, do you want to tell us about a life team?
Certainly. And life teams can be as small as one or two people, mm-hmm. or it can be large, 40 people in a congregation who just get together to gather the resources, to get the word out that life is precious.
And then to gather those resources, to make use of those resources as well, I'm sure.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah.
So what are you excited about at this conference? Anything that you're looking forward to at this conference? Now, Tracy, I know you've got to run. You've got another conference to go to as well, or a seminar, correct?
We do. Tomorrow at the seminary in St. Louis, we're co-hosting with the Concordia Seminary Life Team, mm-hmm. an infertility ethics symposium. So for pastors, commissioned church workers, parish nurses to come and really learn about this area where it seems that technology has just outpaced our ethics so quickly, and to start the conversation to get people talking about it so pastors can bring this back to their congregations to really serve the people.
So you're going to be hitting the road and traveling again here soon, all for the sake. You stay busy with the LCMS Life Ministry. And what a valuable resource to our church workers, and you know, to our pastors, our commission workers, our parish nurses, to really take a long, hard look at this and have open discussions, open, candid conversations about this life issue when it comes to infertility and the technologies that are associated with it. Now, Karen, what are you looking forward to at this conference? You just got here, so you're just probably running from the airport over here to see what's going on. What are you looking forward to in the next day and a half?
Connections. Mm-hmm. It's all about connections and being able to support others in ministry, and I always learn something when I come.
And really, what an encouragement. Especially in the rural setting where congregations don't always have the chance to interact with each other, but to bring everyone here together to see what's going on, to be encouraged, mm-hmm. to know that you're not alone.
That kind of seems to be the theme that I'm hearing from everyone at this conference, and I think that's what I gained last year as well by attending this conference, is that no matter what your setting is, if it's a rural congregation, a small town, or a suburb, or a big city, urban, whatever the setting is, to recognize that each congregation, each family, each individual, each member of the body of Christ has different gifts. Mm-hmm. Don't look at the other members of the body of Christ and say, oh, we don't have those gifts, we can't do anything. God has gifted us each in different ways. How can those gifts be used to serve in the body of Christ? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, as we wrap up our time, we've got another conversation here in just a second, but anything else that you all want to share before we wrap up our conversation?
Just encourage people to come on to our website at lcms.org/life. We have many, many resources, Speakers Bureau, a life library, that we can help you in your ministry.
Very good. Very good. Karen?
Yeah, the same. The website, www.lcms.org/health, and that opens up parish nursing, congregational health, everything.
Very good. Well, thank you both for being my guest today. I really appreciate your time, and I thank you for taking some time to talk with us on faith and family. Blessings on that the presentation or the seminar tomorrow, and the all that's going on at Concordia Seminary. What time is that again tomorrow?
Begins at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
8 a.m.
And,
so.
And those resources will be available on our website as well.
Very good. Thank you both for being my guest today on Faith and Family. Karen Hartikoff, parish nurse, and now what's your new title with parish nursing program?
LCMS Parish Nursing Programming Coordinator.
Thank you so much, Karen, for being our guest. Tracy Quatham, Project Coordinator for LCMS Life Ministries. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Well, we have lots going on here at the Rural and Small Town Mission Conference, and we've got another conversation, another guest to talk with here in just a second. And you know, there are so many great things going on at this conference, so many presenters. One of the things that sometimes you might not think about are all the resources that are available to congregations. And here at the RS, the Rural and Small Town Mission Conference, there is a whole hallway full of presenters and exhibitors that have information to share on resources that are available to congregations. Joining me now, Vicki Helling from Concordia Plan Services. And Vicki, you serve as a payroll program consultant with Concordia Plan Services. Thanks so much. And I see you all the time at lunch and throughout the building. Like I was just telling Tracy, we had to travel 230-something miles just to get to sit down and talk a little bit. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your work at Concordia Plan Services.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Yes, I'm very excited to be part of a new initiative that Concordia Plans is doing. It is an opportunity for Concordia Plans to negotiate with administrative resources on a larger scale, that we can offer discounted prices and services to our employers of any size, whether there's one employee in the congregation mm-hmm. or 500, but yet they're able to take advantage of this buying discount on a national sales basis. So right now, the first item that we have is payroll processing. So Concordia is working with Paychex. It's a national company. They've been in business almost 40 years.
400, that's a long time.
And right now, Concordia Plans is very excited because we are rolling out a discount to all of our employers. Whether you have one employee or 500, we are offering a 35% discount, as well as no W-2 processing fee at the end of the year. So that is something we're very excited. That will be ongoing. But right now, through December 31st, we have a campaign where Concordia Plans is paying for the first 3 months of payroll processing for the first 15 employees, as well as the $50 setup fee for paychecks.
What is this, Concordia Plan Services, what does this mean for a congregation to have this type of support, to have these services? What does this mean for a congregation? What does it do for the members of the congregation? Obviously, it provides a support to the church worker.
Yes. And what it does is it provides a very professional, efficient, and effective way to run the business of the church, which is something that most people don't want to talk about. But we have great volunteers that will come in and they'll be treasurer. But you might have a great treasurer for a number of years, and then when they're ready to retire or to move on into another role, mm-hmm. there might not be someone else qualified to do that job. Now, personally, if it was me and I was in a church and just anybody wanted to come in and write out my paycheck, I would be thinking, okay, do you know all the laws? Are you familiar with the clergy housing allowance? Mm-hmm. Or are you doing the quarterly tax filings? When you outsource, the company, the payroll processor, that's their job. That's what they do. They do it efficiently, effectively. And so it frees up more time and money to be able to go into ministry.
So it's about taking care of church workers and making sure that you're doing that in a way that's appropriate, making sure that it's accurate information, that all those things are taken care of in the appropriate way.
Yes.
and by having reliable resources to do that. And mm-hmm. that's what Concordia Plan Services does, is provide those reliable resources.
Yes, Concordia Plans did quite a bit of research and negotiation with payroll processors before they made this decision. So we were the ones that were able to invest our time and energy to do that on behalf of all of our employers.
And so they can you can use this for payroll, and there are plenty of other services as well that congregations can use to take care of their church workers. And when you take care of your church workers, then they don't have to worry about those types of things. They can
exactly.
focus on the ministry and focus on, you know, pastors can focus on the word and sacrament ministry. The other church workers can mm-hmm. focus on the things that they're given to do there.
Correct.
Teachers yeah. and all kinds of mm-hmm. Those who work and serve in the church. So that we can be about the gospel.
Yes, yes. Concordia Plans, this is an opportunity to be a little bit more holistic for the entire employer. We have our Be Well, Serve Well for the employees. We have our pastoral network support. Of course, the health care, the retirement fund.
Mm-hmm.
Those things benefit our employees, and this is one of those first opportunities that we work specifically with the employer to...
You're right.
Concordia
Plan Services really is about taking care of the whole person. It's not mm-hmm. all compartmentalized. It's all about taking care of the whole person so they can do their job, do their work well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, being here at the Rural and Small Town Mission Conference, what are some of the things that you've gotten to see, some of the things you've gotten to sit in on? What have you enjoyed about the conference so far?
Well, I would say just the camaraderie, the opportunity. The plenary speakers have been wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The worship services or devotions that we've had have been great. And the opportunity to visit with this group of people that have this similarity in their ministry, and just to hear their stories, to see how we can better be of service to them through mm-hmm. Concordia Plans. But you know, it's just not something that I normally see on a daily basis. So for me, it's been a lot of fun to meet these pastors and church workers.
It's nice to get out of the office and
oh, yes. That's a bonus also.
On this beautiful day, it is just that we can see outside for here. It's just absolutely beautiful here in Kansas City this morning, and a little chilly, but a great morning here at the conference, and opportunities for worship, mm-hmm. services and Bible study, and all kinds of sectionals for folks to attend here at the conference. And I think you're right that one of the key things that happens at a conference like this is networking, getting to meet people and hear what's going on in their congregations, getting to talk with people, hear their stories, and realize that we have some similarities in our stories as well. And
exactly.
and by being one of the exhibitors here, how can those needs, their various needs, be met? What can we do to meet those needs? Well, it is it's fun to be here on Faith and Family today and get to talk about these things. We've got more conversation coming up. We've got a break right now, so hope you can join us for more conversation on Faith and Family right here on Listener Supported Worldwide KFUO right after this break.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Age of the Earth, it's a gospel issue. This is Ken Ham, and we're constructing a full-size Noah's Ark near Cincinnati. Many Christians believe that by accepting millions of years for the fossil record, that this belief in no way undermines the gospel. But such a view does attack the message of the gospel. You see, the Bible clearly teaches that death is a penalty for sin. The first death was in the garden when God killed animals and clothed Adam and Eve with animal skins. This was the first blood sacrifice as a covering for their sin, a picture of what was to come in Jesus Christ. Now, when Christians believe in millions of years, they're accepting millions of years of death and bloodshed before man sinned. This means the shedding of blood would have nothing to do with sin. Believing in millions of years, you know what? It's incompatible with the message of the gospel.
Discover more about whether death occurred before sin and also read about the ark we're building at our website of answersingenesis.org. Answersingenesis.org.
Following the National March for Life, join LCMS Life Ministry beginning January 22nd for 3 days at the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, Theological Motivation, Practical Know-How, and Valuable Time with Lutheran pro-lifers from across the country. Speakers will encourage you in advocating for life through your vocation as a Christian citizen to stand for those who will never take their first steps. LCMS.org/life or 314-996-1711.
Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recently said these words regarding the importance of the work of Concordia Historical Institute.
When you forget your past, you forget the gospel. You become locked into your own little part of time. As you study the past and know the past and know what happened in the past, you see God at work. And you see Christ.
Discover your Lutheran history at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
Jesus in the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, where Reverend John Shank is senior pastor. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where senior pastor Ron Rall presides during the worship service. Join us for the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
On the next adventure in Odyssey, emotions are running high as Connie visits Whit in the hospital.
Where's Whit? How is he? Tell me he's all right. I don't think I'll survive another shock in this waiting room.
And Wooten gets a shock of his own.
There are fire engines on your street.
Oh, I hope Mrs. Kramer's all right.
Uh-oh. They're in front of your house.
Huh? Brace yourself for excitement and fun on the next adventure in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the National Rural and Small Town Mission Conference today at the Airport Marriott Hotel in Kansas City. A beautiful day here in Kansas City. Joining me now, Harold Melzer with the Lutheran Hour Men's Network. Harold, it's so good to have you here this morning and to be a part of this Rural and Small Town Mission Conference with you. Thanks for coming to spend some time with us this morning.
You're welcome. I'm enjoying being here.
Now, you made the mad dash from your presentation to come down and talk with us. Tell us, what were you talking about this morning in your presentation here at the conference?
I've already done a presentation on the Men's Network. And we talked about utilizing men and getting them involved in the church. But I just finished a session on how farmers and cattlemen can make gifts for the church. I was working with Neil Cook, who's with Nebraska District, and with Alan Helms, who's LCMS Foundation. So I gave an overview of a special gift from a couple in Colorado and how they gave land and so forth. So,
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Now, today we're talking about the Men's Network, the Lutheran Hour Men's Network. And I think this is a timely topic. How long has the Men's Network been around?
It was originally launched January 1st, 2009.
What was the need that prompted the initiation, the starting of the Men's Network?
Well, several studies have shown that there's fewer men than women in most churches. I don't know how that plays out specifically in the rural community, but across the board, 39% of the people in church are women. It became obvious because another study stated that 93% of the time it's the father that influences going to church. So it's the man in the family who's a spiritual leader and brings people to the church. If the man, the father, and men are not involved in the church, we actually have a problem. So that's kind of where it started. But Bruce Werdemann, who was the executive director of Lutheran Hour Ministries, but in January 1st, 2009, was in charge of the U.S. ministries at Lutheran Hour Ministries. And former speaker of Lutheran Hour, Pastor Ken Klaus, got their heads together and said, you know, we are Lutheran Laymen's League. It's time we paid attention to what we can do for the church and involving men in the church. So that was the beginning. That was the genesis of
It seems that frequently we overlook some of the aspects of our vocation as men, and that seems what's happened is as men we've not been involved in the church as much, and so the Men's Network saw that Lutheran Hour Ministry saw that need and began the launch of the Men's Network. How did things begin with that?
Well, they began with several decisions, and one was that the Men's Network that we refer to is really web-based and therefore is flexible and cost-effective. So one of the things they decided was let's have a presence on the Internet and make that a tool that's accessible and free and available to men. And that became very important, that it was web-based. Secondly, from the very beginning, they said we need to provide Bible studies. We need to provide in-depth a look at what God is telling us through His Scriptures and what that means in the world today. And at first, the first Bible studies were geared specifically to men. And we have Bible studies on fatherhood. We had Bible studies on facing a disaster like a man and things like that. But it evolved into topics which were more generally usable. So the Men's Network Bible studies, many of them are being used across the board, not just with men's groups, but with many in the congregations and so forth. So the very last one we've done is on the Mormons. So, I mean, there's been a lot of good Bible studies and how we got the Bible and things like that, which are not specifically focused on men. But about a third of the Bible studies are. So
the idea behind it, though, was it a way to encourage men to study God's Word, to be men who study God's Word. That's that's an important part of our vocation, is to study God's Word.
Sure.
We can tell men you need to do this or you need to do that, you need to step up to the plate and do this and do that, but we can't do any of it faithfully without the Word of God, right?
True.
So giving the resources, giving the resources to do that.
But we've actually evolved the idea of attracting men in the community and in the church to be more active in the church and to be involved with the people of God and the Christian family. So another aspect of this is activities. So you might have a golf tournament, you might have a barbecue, you might have a servant event, and we have a variety of things that are being done by men's groups, a gathering of men all across the country in various congregations and various activities. It's very interesting. So,
in addition to studying God's Word, getting together and spending time in fellowship, providing that encouragement to one another to be faithful men.
Yes, and this also attracts some men from outside the congregations. Mm-hmm. It hopefully reactivates some men within the congregation community, but also reaches out. You invite your buddy that you work with to come. Why don't you participate with us? We're having a barbecue Saturday, or whatever it might be. So that becomes part of the men's network, and it's very. We have a couple of activities that are national every year. We have a fishing tournament, which is done on the internet, where people provide information on the size of the fish that they got, and so on. And also, we have a work day, April 26th, this next spring, all across the country. Various men's network connected groups are involved in a servant activity, a work activity, sometimes with the congregation, but often out into the community, doing and being seen by others that they are indeed doing a service to their community. So that's kind of cool.
And by doing this, by serving side by side, what does that do for men, for the congregation, for their families? What are some of the outcomes that you've seen, some of the positive things that have come out of this men's network?
Well, a couple of things we can measure is that men, even men who are members of the congregation, become more active in the congregation. They become more connected. But the other part of it is they move into a leadership role, which is their rightful role to lead the family and so on. So they become more active in the actual organization of the congregation. So we see both things happening. But the third thing is, of course, is that we are attracting some men from the community to be part of the faith family. So that's all that is happening.
To come share in the love, joy, and peace of Jesus with us, to hear that good news of Jesus and to receive it gladly along with us. Yeah, that's great news.
I probably would be remiss not to tell you how many organizations there are. We have a link. Someone in a congregation connected to the men's network and sharing with other men in that congregation. We're at almost 4,500 congregations.
Wow.
Out of 6,000 LCMS congregations. Plus, we have others that use our materials that are not Lutheran. Mm-hmm. So there's a great wave out there that starts with the men's network. So that's pretty cool.
When we think about the different types of congregations in the LCMS, you know, we're here at the Rural and Small Town Mission Conference. There are, you know, about half of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is made up of rural and small town congregations. But we also have suburban congregations, city and urban congregations. How does this apply? How do you bring about a men's network, you know, in these congregations, in these smaller congregations, where you have a congregation of 25, 30 people, maybe that attend regularly on Sunday morning?
Well, first of all, there's a tradition. It's the Lutheran Layman's League of men's clubs. What we're finding is some of them are very good and continue. That's great. But we're also finding that some men, younger men, are interested in the Bible study, interested in doing activities. So it doesn't have to be a large group. It could be a dozen guys or whatever that participate in Bible study on a regular basis and may do some of these activities. So I did a session yesterday about men's network, talking about the application to smaller churches in the rural community, and that doesn't limit this idea. It's all about gathering, studying the Word, and doing things together within that faith community. So there's no limit in terms of the activity. So
it can be a small group, it can be a larger group. Like you said, it could be a dozen, it could be six guys,
right,
that are studying God's word together and encouraging one another to be faithful in their vocations, to be whatever their vocations may be, if they're a husband, if they're a father, if they're single, whatever their vocations may be, to be faithful men in what they're given to do. And that starts with the word of God. I'm so glad to hear that that's where it starts. Yeah. And that we can do other manly things, too, when we're together.
And that, like I said, a third of the Bible study, we've done 40 Bible studies since January 1st, 2009. And about a third of those are specifically focused for men.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two-thirds are other topics regarding various things, like how we got the Bible and so forth. So,
sure.
I mean, and those are useful to the men's groups, but they can begin studying together at the initial phase, just these Bible studies that are specifically focused on men.
So. As we're talking about it, it just hit me. You know, I just realized that, you know, some of the manly things that you can do, you know, we talked about fishing and other things and working on things and building things, those are all manly things, but what's the most manly thing you can do? Study God's word.
Right.
That's the most manly thing one can do. We do other things that are manly and virtuous in our vocations, but it all starts with that study of God's word.
We've designed some Bible studies that relate to men only because of their interests. For example, one of them is Winning the Race, and it's about NASCAR.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, there's a that we did that on purpose so that it would bring men to the study, and so that works.
Yeah. Men who might not necessarily already be connected with the study of God's word, and so we can talk about in those settings. We can talk about things that are unique or to men. You can address things that men are concerned about or that men are interested in as well in those settings.
Right. And we have one Bible study on fatherhood, specifically about your role as a father. So.
And it's an important vocation. I've been learning about it for about a little over a year now, and certainly an important vocation, and great to have that vocation. I think now being a father, it's valuable to have support from fellow men, from brothers in Christ, to have that support, to be able to ask questions of other men, to be able to say, okay, am I unusual? Am I unique in this, or do other guys, have this challenge too, or do other guys, struggle with trying to balance this and this? And so having that kind of support, I think, is helpful.
And the other value of the men's network is that it's online, and that you can register the men's network as an individual, and you can pull the materials. For example, the Bible studies of the men's network on the internet are free. You can download them and use them, including the discussion guide for Bible studies. So in many cases, we have an individual at a congregation who is pulling this information down and using it. So that's kind of a virtue, an advantage of the men's network on the internet, because they can do that. And they can also see what other groups are doing, because we constantly have bragging, if you will, going on about things that are happening among all the groups and a wide variety of activities. So,
what are some of the things that some of the groups have come up with that some of the men's network groups are doing?
Well, we have a group, I think it was an Omaha, King of Kings in Omaha, that went mountain climbing together. So there's all kinds of things like that. But the sermon events, like on April 26th, when we have a work day, is really cool, because different organizations are doing different things in their community. And the neat thing is, especially in small rural communities, they might have a weekly newspaper.
Oh, sure.
And they not only will people see what they're doing, but they can have an article in there about the activity and why they're doing it as men of God. So that's kind of cool. That's neat that they do it that way. So
mountain climbing was one activity, and just having the opportunity, like you said, in a smaller rural or small town, you can share that with your community pretty easily. Right. It's a little bit easier in those smaller networks, in those smaller communities, to share what's going on and get the word out about it. What are some other activities? You mentioned mountain climbing. Any others that come to mind?
Well, of course, there's things like barbecues and such. Mm-hmm. What we discovered at this conference, or learning at this conference, is that we have an influx of different kinds of people coming into your towns now.
Sure.
Who are there because of business, mm-hmm. or there for other reasons. And it's not the typical Anglo-German.
Sure.
And so there are servant events involved with serving the community and serving the influx of people in a way that's certainly part of our mm-hmm. our role as Christians, is to reach out and help others. So some men's groups are actually doing activities to help at the local food pantry or doing other things in the community. So, as a group. So that's cool. That's neat. So,
well, that's great. So Men's Network started because we saw a need for men to be faithful in vocations in the congregation, in the family, and in all the ways that that they're given to serve. So providing support for them with Bible studies and encouraging them to study God's Word together, and then also fellowship opportunities, and all this being connected online. So it's kind of a global connection, that hence the term network, the Men's Network. And some national events that are going on, like you mentioned, the servant event, the April 26th servant event. How do they, so you just find a way to serve in your own community?
Right. They get ideas mm-hmm. on the network of what other groups are doing. So if they're fishing for ideas, they do have a source
sure.
to do that. But the neat thing is, all over the country, on April 26th, we have men out in their communities doing various events and that help, that serve.
And what does that say then to the communities about these men and about the congregations, about the churches, and what does that say to those communities?
It says, my goodness, who are they? Mm-hmm. And we could tell them. We're a group from Trinity Lutheran Church, and we're doing this for you. So that's really a great mark to help them understand the faith community and that we care as Christians. So.
Because God cares for us. God loves us and has shown us love. He's shown us mercy. We can do this for you, too.
Right.
This is how God
right.
shows his mercy, is through his people.
Right.
Hmm.
And I should mention that there's a the website is... You can get it through the LHM.org site, mm-hmm. but there's also, let me look it up, if I can find it. There's also a site specifically for the Men's Network. It's LHMmen.com.
Very good, LHMmen.com.
So they can go there. Now, I have to tell you, I officially retired from Lutheran Ministries a week ago.
Oh.
But I'm very active and excited about this, and... If they wish, they can go to LHMmen.com, and they can get connected and get all kinds of information. And I really encourage them to pull down some of these great Bible studies.
Good resources there to help the men get connected, be a part of this men's network. Now, what have you enjoyed about this conference, being a part of the Rural and Small Town Conference? I know I've seen you out in the hallway talking to everybody that comes through and just visiting. What have you enjoyed
well,
about
I'm
this
a,
conference?
I'm basically a city boy, but at the same time, I recognize and understand that we have a great opportunity out into the rural communities and small towns and smaller congregations. 50% of our congregations are considered small congregations or rural congregations. Mm-hmm. So I'm learning about that. I'm excited because I know a lot of folks out there. I'm excited about what's happening in our church in these communities. And we've learned how much there's an influx of new and different people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have actually great mission opportunities that we may not recognize. So I think that's really a nice thing that's happened.
Has there been anything in the conversations that you've had here, in the sitting in on the sessions, anything that that has been a surprise that you didn't expect to experience or to learn here?
Well, we learned about we all know that people leave the small town to go for opportunities in the big city, but there's some statistics showing that they come back.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, as I've said several times, there's an influx of new and different people.
Sure.
For various reasons, they go out to live in small towns for whatever reason, but they're not German. They're
right. We talked
German
with
interest. You know, they're different kind of people, and how we have to be waiting with open arms, and mainly go out and serve them and build a trust with them, so that they may learn about salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the big thing.
We talked about that this morning with Reverend Richard Boring from the Nebraska District about how some of the rural and small town communities have various types of industry that create jobs, that yes. bring in people from all kinds of ethnic backgrounds from all over the world. So that creates a whole different dynamic in the community. Sometimes, newcomers to a community are welcome. Sometimes they're not so welcomed by the community. What can the congregations do? What can we as Lutherans, as Christians in these communities, what can we do to be welcoming to them? And some of the things that you've talked about with the Men's Network are great ways to invite your neighbor to come study God's Word with us, hear what God's Word has to say.
The big thing, of course, is to learn about them and mm-hmm. gain their trust, because
right.
it shouldn't be a pounding of the Scripture to them, but rather that they are yearning
mm-hmm.
to have an answer. But one way to do that is to meet them, greet them, begin to know about their life and mm-hmm. what they're doing and so forth as an introduction, and walk alongside them. So that's and the Men's Network then can be part of that answer, because they mm-hmm. can come to the Men's Network to one of the activities and then learn about, you guys get together and you're studying the Bible? Oh. So then, that's an opportunity to bring some of these men. For example, they were talking this morning about corn to ethanol and mm-hmm. so forth, plants out there, and other things. I mean, you're right. There's industry coming to the small towns and bringing people in that maybe even be city folk. You know, they're coming in.
We're going to put you out in the middle of a cornfield.
So anyway, those are opportunities to help them know about salvation through Jesus Christ.
And to be able to be a part of that, to be a witness and in those small towns is truly a blessing. So now in retirement, you're a city boy. Are you going to head out to the country now and be one of these rural small town guys?
Who knows? But I am doing things like I'm now on the board for Lutherans and Medical Missions, which works all over the world with and in the United States to help people understand community health. I'm working with an organization called Christians for New Americans, which is kind of related to what we're
sure.
talking about, because
sure.
it's in St. Louis, and it deals with refugees. And it's been the Bosnian people, now mm-hmm. it's Nepal people that came out of that arena. And so it's several Lutheran churches gathering and working with these people. And it's a wonderful organization. So I've got other things I'm doing, too.
Well, wonderful.
I'm open to opportunities, that's for sure.
Well, Harold, I really appreciate your time today, being my guest here today to talk about Lutheran Hour Ministries and the Men's Network and all the other things that you're involved in, too. I think I heard about 12 different things that you're involved in this morning. So I really thank you for being my guest this morning. It's
been
some time talking with us. Hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you. I have enjoyed it.
I have enjoyed being a part of the Rural and Small Town Mission Conference, and it's been so fun to get to broadcast live from here. I'm looking forward to getting to talk with more folks, and this wraps up our live broadcast from the Rural and Small Town Mission Conference. Coming up next, Thy Strong Word, right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, broadcasting 90 years, proclaiming the good news of Jesus. I'll send it back to you in the studio, Buzz. Thanks so much for your help today. God's blessings, everyone. I'm going to go enjoy some more of this conference.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.